The Great Fire of London. You are going to hear an interview about the Great Fire of London, which destroyed two-thirds of the city.
Hello, I'm Callum Robertson and this is London Life. I'm not in the studio today, as you might be able to hear. I'm out and about in London. To be exact, I'm in a street called Pudding Lane. And it was here in this street in September 1666 the Great Fire of London began. To tell us a bit more about the fire, I've been joined by James Clare, who is the historic buildings architect for the City of London. James, at the time of the Great Fire, what was London like?
London was a very large city in the Middle Ages, one of the major cities in Europe, and it was full of wooden buildings which were a great fire risk. The streets were very narrow, there was little space between the houses, and a lot of people lived in every house.
What do we know about how it started?
It started in the house of a baker, and it started very early in the morning. And so it could have been an accident from the fireplace in his bakery, or a candle, or an oil lamp. Or it could have been his ovens for baking, which may have overheated. But certainly there was a fire there, and it started slowly, but soon it was spreading very fast from house to house. There were fires every so often, but none was as big as this one. It couldn't be put out quickly, and a very strong wind made the fire spread. The wind from the east pushed the fire across the city towards the west, and there was very little, if anything, that people could do to fight the fire at that time, although efforts were made to do so.
And how long did the fire last?
The fire lasted many days. The smoke of the fire lasted more than a week.
How did the fire finally come to an end? Did it burn itself out?
Well, it certainly had burnt so much of the city that there was relatively little left to burn. However, the fire breaks did help. Some buildings were destroyed to stop the fire from jumping from house to house. But the most significant factor was that the wind dropped, and this allowed the people trying to fight the fire to finally overcome it.
What were the effects of the fire?
There were enormous numbers of homeless people. The rich had been able to move out to the countryside or into city buildings, but the main population had had to escape from the fire to open fields such as Moorgate and camp in tents if they were lucky.
What was the extent of the destruction of the City of London?
St. Paul's Cathedral caught fire, the old St. Paul's Cathedral. There were some 13,000 or 14,000 houses burnt down. 87 churches were destroyed, and very many businesses.
Was there any good news to come out of the destruction of the City of London?
Well, I guess the good news was that they were able to recover in a surprisingly short period of time.
It still seems to be a rather confusing arrangement of narrow streets. You would have thought that they might have used this as an opportunity to rebuild the city in a more modern way with city blocks and so on.
There were great ambitions on the part of both the city and, more importantly, the Crown and government to radically change the design of the city along modern design principles, as had been developed in Europe. This included wide avenues with beautiful buildings along the avenues. But the reality was that there were hundreds and thousands of owners of old buildings, and they wanted to rebuild their houses as quickly as possible. It was an impossible task for the city authorities to simply take over all that land and to force the people to a new street layout, although they did manage to widen a number of strategic streets, such as Cheapside.
So in a sense, London became a modern city with a layout of the Middle Ages?
Yes, that's right. If you walk the city today, it's still very much the street pattern of the Middle Ages. And that's why the City of London is different from other cities. It has that character.
James Clare, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Callum.
Well, that's all from this special edition of London Life from Pudding Lane.
Now listen to the interview again and check your answers.
Hello, I'm Callum Robertson and this is London Life. I'm not in the studio today, as you might be able to hear. I'm out and about in London. To be exact, I'm in a street called Pudding Lane. And it was here in this street in September 1666 the Great Fire of London began. To tell us a bit more about the fire, I've been joined by James Clare, who is the historic buildings architect for the City of London. James, at the time of the Great Fire, what was London like?
London was a very large city in the Middle Ages, one of the major cities in Europe, and it was full of wooden buildings which were a great fire risk. The streets were very narrow, there was little space between the houses, and a lot of people lived in every house.
What do we know about how it started?
It started in the house of a baker, and it started very early in the morning. And so it could have been an accident from the fireplace in his bakery, or a candle, or an oil lamp. Or it could have been his ovens for baking, which may have overheated. But certainly there was a fire there, and it started slowly, but soon it was spreading very fast from house to house. There were fires every so often, but none was as big as this one. It couldn't be put out quickly, and a very strong wind made the fire spread. The wind from the east pushed the fire across the city towards the west, and there was very little, if anything, that people could do to fight the fire at that time, although efforts were made to do so.
And how long did the fire last?
The fire lasted many days. The smoke of the fire lasted more than a week.
How did the fire finally come to an end? Did it burn itself out?
Well, it certainly had burnt so much of the city that there was relatively little left to burn. However, the fire breaks did help. Some buildings were destroyed to stop the fire from jumping from house to house. But the most significant factor was that the wind dropped, and this allowed the people trying to fight the fire to finally overcome it.
What were the effects of the fire?
There were enormous numbers of homeless people. The rich had been able to move out to the countryside or into city buildings, but the main population had had to escape from the fire to open fields such as Moorgate and camp in tents if they were lucky.
What was the extent of the destruction of the City of London?
St. Paul's Cathedral caught fire, the old St. Paul's Cathedral. There were some 13,000 or 14,000 houses burnt down. 87 churches were destroyed, and very many businesses.
Was there any good news to come out of the destruction of the City of London?
Well, I guess the good news was that they were able to recover in a surprisingly short period of time.
It still seems to be a rather confusing arrangement of narrow streets. You would have thought that they might have used this as an opportunity to rebuild the city in a more modern way with city blocks and so on.
There were great ambitions on the part of both the city and, more importantly, the Crown and government to radically change the design of the city along modern design principles, as had been developed in Europe. This included wide avenues with beautiful buildings along the avenues. But the reality was that there were hundreds and thousands of owners of old buildings, and they wanted to rebuild their houses as quickly as possible. It was an impossible task for the city authorities to simply take over all that land and to force the people to a new street layout, although they did manage to widen a number of strategic streets, such as Cheapside.
So in a sense, London became a modern city with a layout of the Middle Ages?
Yes, that's right. If you walk the city today, it's still very much the street pattern of the Middle Ages. And that's why the City of London is different from other cities. It has that character.
James Clare, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Callum.
Well, that's all from this special edition of London Life from Pudding Lane.